Voluntary standards. That's what we do here in Canada.
I have questions. I have preliminary concerns with the idea of voluntary national standards.
I think, are we just afraid of the word mandate now?
I just think, like, if you tell me you're putting a voluntary standard on me, I look at you funny. Like, don't tell me, like, what a voluntary standard is. Like, are we just talking about, like, ideals or, like, you know, stretch goals, as former Premier Wynne once said? Like, we're talking about human lives when we talk about care standards and long-term care homes. Is that not something we can maybe go mandatory on?
And we have to consider that there are people in my heart. I am thinking of Kathy Parks, a woman who lost her father in a privately run long-term care home for profit that the army had to be called in to address during the pandemic. And they found people had died from dehydration. Not from COVID-19, not from a virus that we didn't have a vaccine for, from dehydration, because they were abandoned in these for-profit long-term care homes, which companies still collected money on, and they died. So the country, the prime minister, says we will make sure nothing like this happens again, and today they come out with voluntary standards. Our next guest has discussed this issue more than once. She's quoted in the Toronto Star as saying that this could be a true milestone. But then Laura Tamblyn Watts, lawyer and CEO of National Seniors Advocacy Group CanAge, tweeted out after hearing from Ontario's long-term care minister that she's very concerned because Paul Calandra said he's not interested in watering down what Ontario is doing to improve care, referencing the federal standards as a watered-down version of what is happening here in Ontario. I would remind you of everything that unfolded here in Ontario, but let's bring in Laura Tamblyn Watts. We appreciate you making time for us today. Laura, your thoughts on how the day has unfolded with the announcements and the comments from politicians?
We started the day on a high after about a year and a half of top experts in the field working around the clock to create national standards with the very best evidence in hand. We started rolling them out across the country. And remember, this is the second part of two parts. We did this already before on some previous national standards that we did about the physical built environment. We wanted crazy things like, you know, heat and air conditioning and making sure people can open the windows, right? This is where we were before. These are the standards on care standards and staffing. So important. And they're extremely well received. This is great stuff that we're doing. And then the Minister for Long-Term Care cuts up and essentially waves his hand at it dismissively and says, oh, we'll take a look. And then he seems to misunderstand the difference between accreditation standards, which is what this is, and legislation. And that's really worrying.
I think you've actually just identified the key thing here. These standards are not unreasonable. They've been carefully developed. Every possible stakeholder has been consulted. Plus, we just have the lived experience of what can go so badly wrong that you need the military to step in and clean it up. Like, that's a pretty high bar for failure, and yet we were able to clear that with ease in both Ontario and Quebec here. If there was ever a case to actually roll out some standards with some spine in them, that would be it. Is it political amnesia at this point? Have we just moved on and no one cares anymore?
Arrogance of this minister's comment was actually jaw-dropping. The question is not should we have these standards. The question is how are we going to adopt and fund these standards? That is where we actually are. The idea that this legislation, the Fixing Long-Term Care Homes Act, is apparently a panacea is nonsense. We know very well the incredible challenges we're having right now. The industry will tell you, too. Massively short-staffed, critically underfunded, worse than it was before COVID-19. And so the idea that this government is going to turn away and say, oh, we're fixing it because we're building some high-rise long-term care homes here and we've got an initiative to make more stuff, is somehow unbelievably blinkered as to what these standards are. I got to recommend that the minister open them up and have a read.
Well, yeah, and more people do need to understand what kind of standards we're setting here, right, Laura? I mean, we're talking about 4 hours of care a day, which is something that was pre-pandemic. We're talking about staffing without having one PSW going between rooms and different homes. And we're talking about really investing in making sure that these people who pay for these rooms have the freedom to be visited and move around in these rooms, not to be, you know, locked in with the handles taken off, which happened in a private long-term care home in this province, not to have them abandoned, to have the military come in to find them dead from dehydration. These standards are something that people like you and other organizations have been asking for many, many years. Why haven't we been able to reach this point even after this pandemic?
It's a bit baffling. I mean, the industry itself wants to level up, and many are already doing a terrific job, but you could only do such a terrific job if you have staff and funds to do it, right? So they're not really contentious in any way. What we have seen in these standards, which is so important, is that they are very resident focused. The resident is at the center, which is what we want. We want to make sure that a person's diversity and culture is respected. We want to make sure that people are gotten out of bed, groomed, supported, and toileted appropriately. We want to make sure that the walls of long-term care homes are there to provide a welcoming home and not a barrier to the outside world. This all seems obvious, but of course, remember, the legislation and the standards are different across the country. Except for Quebec, we don't actually have mandatory accreditation across Canada. So these are great things. And then on the corollary, the other thing it did was lay out a very solid plan for how to manage the staffing crisis. Again, expert thoughts, more than 25,000 people between the two sets of standard had input into this as well. This is not a fly-by-night kind of thing. A real focused effort to try to figure out how to train, attract, and get better jobs into the hands of people who want to work and then keep them there. But this minister says he'll look at it.
One of the things that jumped out at me, Laura, and this is going back into the mists of time a little bit here, but after SARS in 2003, we had the so-called lessons of SARS. And one of the challenges we faced then, thank God SARS stayed contained, relatively speaking, but we were worried about the long-term care system even then. We understood the danger it would pose. We told ourselves for years that we had learned the lessons of SARS, and then we forgot them, and then COVID comes along and knocks us flat in our butts. I'm not getting an overwhelming sense of confidence right now that we've set ourselves up in a way so that COVID-32 doesn't come and flatten us.
And yet these national standards will do exactly that. You know, I was on the technical committee that worked specifically on infection prevention and control and the physical built environment. And these standards talk about how to operationalize those things, how to make sure that people aren't having cross-hatching pollutants, that they are able to go and use the toilet in an appropriate and dignified way and not get a life-threatening disease in the process. So these are terrific. They're a landmark. We've never had such an opportunity to transform long-term care. And remember, the federal government has committed to kicking in a minimum of $3 billion. Okay, it's not enough, but it's a good and healthy start to help move some of these necessary things forward if we're working hand-in-hand with the provinces.
Mm-hmm. Laura, thank you again for making time. I hope everyone is listening. And thank you for all that you do and the work that you put into all of this, because as you point out, it's been years in the making. Laura Tamblyn-Watts, lawyer, CEO of National Seniors Advocacy Group, CanAge, as we go over the voluntary standards brought in for long-term care homes across Canada. Here in Ontario, our minister says he doesn't want to water down what the Ford government's doing to long-term care in our province. It's The Rush, News Talk 1010 Toronto, Reshmi Nair and Matt Gurney. Lots more to come.